Sometimes I read passages from Scripture because they're my favorite. And then there are other times when they're not. It was on this page a minute ago. Hold on. Jesus said in Matthew 20, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into the vineyard. Going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and to them he said, 'You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you.' So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing, and he said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.' And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first.' And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the householder, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you've made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me?'" Sometimes when I read the Bible stories, I get a little tired of the ne'er-do-wells doing well, don't you? Zacchaeus, Matthew, the tax collector, the woman of the evening that Jesus had dinner with, the prodigal son. I'll tell you what Bible story I keep looking for. I want the Bible story where the elder brother wins the lottery. That's what I want. It's called relative deprivation, where we're not really deprived, but we discover that somebody else is doing well, even better than we. College town I lived in Illinois used to publish in the newspaper the salaries of all the college professors. Not that this is secret information, but you have to work at it to look it up, unless they publish it in the paper. And morale in town was, well, it took a little bit of a hit for a month or so after that happened, because nothing changed except your knowledge of what somebody else got. Your life didn't change at all. These laborers, first hired, got the exact amount of money they agreed to work for. Nothing changed until they figured out that somebody else got something that flat out wasn't fair. They were not deprived, but they experienced relative deprivation. So the question is, how do we cope with that? I mean, we all have our own stories and experiences of how seemingly unfairly others have gotten ahead. And even if it wasn't at our expense, well, by comparison, we just feel stinky about it. Well, it may sound trite, but I think the first way we cope with relative deprivation is to count our blessings. And I'm not just counting about the good stuff in our life. I'm talking about counting the times in your life when you really deserve to get whacked and you got away with it instead. I mean, when we're children, sometimes we get punished for things we didn't do. And, well, if our parents are wise, they will say, well, just count that as punishment for something we didn't catch you doing, and you got away with it. And we'll just, you know, okay, well, all right, fair enough. I mean, is there anybody in here that didn't get away with something? Something that they may have remembered still. And, you know, there were days when there wasn't any good reason we got home safe after making the silly, stupid decisions we made while we were out and away. So the next time you feel relatively deprived, it may help at least to remember there were times when you were treated unfairly by the circumstances of life because you should have gotten whacked for something and you got away with it anyway. That helps. Which is not to say it doesn't help to count our blessings. It really does. I mean, how lucky we are to live in a place where there's D1A football to watch and smoked brisket to eat. And the West Texas weather, where we can play golf and tennis all year round, and where there are people who are older than me that love softball almost as much as I do, and they've made the Geezer League. There's at least 20 things that I could put into my top five reasons I love Texas. And I didn't expect to find that here. I had to find Lubbock on a map. I didn't know where it was. I'd heard of Buddy Holly, but the people, the environment, sunrise over the Caprock, we are uncountably lucky to live where we are. And we don't have to go very far to watch people living much less well than us. In fact, there's an interesting image that I sometimes hold in my head when I'm feeling relatively deprived. If you go to New York City and you get onto the subway at the 59th Street Bridge in Midtown Manhattan, you're standing in roughly the wealthiest congressional district in the country, certainly in the top five. You can take a train from that subway station, 9 stops in 20 minutes, to get to the neighborhood close to where Yankee Stadium is. And when you get off the train, you're standing in the poorest congressional district in the United States. This is where per capita wealth is lower than any other place, and it's only 20 minutes away from where per capita wealth is quite nearly higher than anywhere else. And so if you're a child and get to pick, which side of the river do you want to get born on? Well, you don't get to pick. And for most of us, most of the time, we spend most of our lives living on the side of the river where the resources are. And we're uncountably lucky to be there, and it's not fair. It's not fair. So counting our blessings, including the ones that we got simply by being fortunate enough to be born in this place, and also the blessings that we received when we did not deserve to get away with something, helps us, I think, cope with relative deprivation. But it still stinks when you read about it in the paper, doesn't it? Or something like that. Well, in a very pragmatic kind of way, you can do a couple of different things. We went to the grocery store this last week, and when I walked into Market Street, I did not have a plan to buy 4 ounces of pickled herring. But I bought it anyway, because I was feeling somewhat relatively deprived by some stuff that's irrelevant for the most part. And on a whim, for $4, for like 4 ounces, I really like the stuff. And you know what? I'm not made of money, but by golly, I can afford a treat here. And so for the next couple of days, I had pickled herring and crackers for lunch. Mostly drove the other people in the house out of the house. The cats kind of liked it. Give yourself a treat once in a while. You know, when I was in college, I used to do that. I had barely enough money at the time to, you know, buy cans of Spanish rice. And there was one time in the grocery store, I actually looked at the Gainsburgers, the dog food, and said, well, how bad could that be? But I still bought a jar of olives because I like them. And it's a treat. And it reminds me that I'm not completely deprived. So that's one thing you can do. You can just treat yourself to some little silly thing. And you can also feel less relatively deprived by, paradoxically enough, giving something away. Giving something away to people that, for no reason other than the randomness of luck, maybe got born on the other side of the river, if you will. State Employee Charitable Contribution Fund is underway, United Way, all of the things that we get all the way through the year. Maybe it's time to crank it up just a little bit. And it's helpful when you do that, especially when you're feeling relatively deprived. Take some of what you do have and give even more of it away. You'll feel better. And finally, here again the word of the householder. Am I not allowed to give what I wish to what belongs to me? The next time you pray the Lord's Prayer, pay real close attention to that part toward the end where it says, forgive us our, well, debts, trespasses, whatever it is. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And be grateful that God chooses not to answer that prayer most of the time. forgive us as we forgive, we'd be in big trouble. God has chosen to do with us, to give to what belongs to Him, which is us, the one thing He had that was more valuable than anything else. He gave for our sins the life of His Son, precisely because we don't deserve it. And so when we pray, forgive us as we forgive, let that be a reminder that we are more like the people hired at the 11th hour than the first, even though most people wouldn't see us that way, and we don't see ourselves that way most of the time. But we are given the blessings that we don't deserve, and thank God for that. And if that doesn't get you through the day, well, try the pickled herring. Amen.